and to respond to it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Do take a seat. And you'll find a handout for this sermon in our order of service as well. That may be of use to you. In our second reading, John 13, Jesus interrupts his final meal to show his disciples what true service is. And he sums up his message this way, verse 17. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Jesus says to his disciples and to us, serving is a pathway to blessedness, to settled happiness secure in God's favor, a path to a spring of joy that sometimes bubbles up in daily life and always flows under the surface of daily life. And I want to suggest that that isn't actually that controversial. Most people recognize that serving others is good for us. And the science backs those people up. So studies show that serving others decreases stress, depression, even blood pressure. MRI scans show that serving others hit the same part of our brains as eating food. Forbes magazine sums up the evidence this way: we're built to serve. And modern science's discoveries make sense when read alongside the very first pages of the Bible, where the first thing that God says is not good is that a man is alone. We were made social creatures, made to look out to each other and to look out for each other, not to curve in on ourselves. We're built to serve. Serving is good with us. It goes with the grain of our created nature. It's a pathway to joy most of us want to be on. And yet, to quote Archbishop Justin Welby's recent state funeral sermon, people of loving service are rare in any walk of life. Because if service is a pathway to joy, it's also a seriously overgrown pathway. There are many entanglements, many obstacles that keep us from true service. So we may be like my friend, let's call her Samantha. She's wary of calling herself a Christian, but she sees that Christians often serve others with joy, and it's a way of life that attracts her to want to do likewise. But here's the obstacle. In the flow of a busy life, how do you reset your life to live like that? Or take Andrew, not his real name. Andrew's a Christian. But all day, every day, he's bombarded with messages telling him that actually his fundamental identity is consumer. From holidays to home improvements, modern life encourages us to serve our preferences. And Andrew struggles not to bring that mindset with him when he comes to church. Church easily becomes the place for spiritual consumption. It's all about what'll boost me spiritually, what'll grow my relationship with God, with my friends. If that's ever true of us, how can we overcome the obstacle of the consumer mentality and walk along that path of service that leads to joy? The rest of John 13 unpacks Jesus' answer in verse 17. It says that we'll overcome the obstacles and stay on the path of service that leads to joy when we receive Christ's loving service. That's our first point. Then reflect on Christ's loving service. And finally respond with Christ-like loving service. So first, to serve in ways that lead to joy, we need to receive Christ's loving service. Because Jesus begins verse 17, now that you know these things about doing to others what I have done for you. Now immediately what Jesus did was wash some feet, But we're meant to look through the foot washing to the supreme act of service that it so powerfully symbolizes, at least in those first 9 verses. Jesus' cleansing of people on the cross. John gives loads of clues that that's what the foot washing is about. So he mentions that Jesus did it knowing, verse 1, his hour had come to leave this world behind. He evokes the Passover when lambs died in the place of God's people. And then Jesus answers Peter's objection in verse 8. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Which suggests the foot washing represents something far bigger than itself. Jesus wants us to look through the foot washing to when he didn't just take off his outer garments, but he laid down his life to cleanse us from the grime of our stubborn suspicion of God, our selfishness towards each other, and all of the guilt and isolation that comes with it. What would it be like to be in Peter's place? For Jesus to come into your living room, get down before you while you're sitting on your favorite chair, and to take your feet in his hands. How would you react to that? Perhaps bewilderment. How can you do this for me? Maybe embarrassment. Apparently 1/3 of Britons suffer from something called foot shame. But Jesus is saying to each of us today, if you haven't already, receive my loving service. Yes, I'm the divine Son of the Father. Yes, I know about the grime in your life. But I died to make you clean with God, to make you clean with me. If, like my friend Samantha, you're holding Christian faith at a bit of a distance, but admire Christians who do joyfully and lovingly serve at least a good chunk of the time, notice that before asking anyone to serve others, Jesus shows us how he served them. We might be bewildered that he'd do that for us. We might be embarrassed by the mess that he finds ourselves in. But Jesus says, receive my loving service. How will you respond? Because when we receive that cleansing, we share in all that Jesus has, including his way of loving service. If that's even something that a little bit interests you, even just a smidgen, then why not consider trying out our Hope Explore course on the 4th of October? Do grab me afterwards if you might even be a little bit interested in that. And if we have received Christ's loving service, we can then take the next step on the path to joy. We can reflect on Christ's loving service. Because Jesus says, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. And knowing in John isn't just about a pure assent to the facts. It's not like knowing 1 + 1 = 2. It's about life-transforming enlightenment. It's about knowing Jesus' service going from the head to our heart so that it comes out in our lives. A bit like when we put a coin into a Coke machine, something rumbles all the way down and something refreshing comes out. And I think that's why Jesus didn't just give us a speech explaining the cross. He gave us a dramatic action demonstrating its inner character. We need to not only look through the foot washing, but look at the foot washing. Meditate on it. Approach it like we'd approach the Mona Lisa, appreciating each stroke of color. And for a few moments, I want us to reflect on 4 brushstrokes that contribute to the beautiful picture of service that Jesus gives us. And the first is this: loving service is humble. Verse 4, Jesus lays down his outer clothing and with a towel round his waist begins to wash his disciples' feet. That's a slave's job. And there's no example anywhere in ancient literature of any other master ever doing this. Because the role reversal is one of such vast humility. It's saying, I'll treat you as if you have a higher status than me, despite who I am. And Jesus' service is all the more beautiful in its humility because he's so much more than just a master. The shift from verse 3 to 4 is mind-bending when you think about it. Verse 3, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So what could have followed that? So he zapped Judas, grabbed the crown of the Roman emperor. No. To quote a 4th century bishop, he who wraps the heavens in clouds, wrap round himself a towel. He who pours the water into the rivers, tipped some water into a basin. The divine Son, whose head over all things, stooped down to wash dirty feet. Just as he humbled himself to death, even death on a cross, to cleanse us. Loving service is humble. The second brushstroke. Loving service is generous. Look at verse 2. It confused me for a while because it jolts the narrative flow by mentioning Judas. But John really wants us to see that all the way through the foot washing, Judas is there. And it says Jesus washed his disciples' feet. All of them. Now, of course, Judas wasn't cleansed on the inside by the washing of the cross. He's already rejected Jesus. Verse 11 explains that. But Jesus still washes the filth off his betrayers' feet. And of course, even Peter was about to deny him. Jesus' loving service was generous. He didn't only serve those who'd reciprocate. He did it to people who'd fail him, even oppose him. Jesus here totally undermines the I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine mentality. A mentality that infects so many workplaces, even so many marriages. Loving service is generous. It gives without getting back what it deserves. And the third stroke, loving service is self-forgetful, not self-absorbed. Jesus knew his hour had come, that he'd face extreme physical and spiritual pain as he faced judgment for our rejection of God. But look what he does next. When I'm under pressure, I find it very easy to draw inwards, to retreat into myself. So this week I was at a deacon's residential training conference. But I was also preparing for this sermon. And if I'm honest, there were points where I wasn't really fully mentally engaged with the people around me. I was in my own head. How much more could Jesus have felt like that? But he didn't get up and go for some me time. He got up, laid down his robe, and washed feet. And later he laid down his life to wash our souls. He forgot himself so he could serve others. And in an age of me, how refreshing is that? Loving service is self-forgetful. And our fourth and final brushstroke, I found this the most invigorating personally, loving service is seemingly ordinary. Someone cleaning feet was ordinary in Jesus' day, as ordinary as taking the bins out is for us. And the identity of Jesus aside, even the crucifixion was just another day at the office for the centurion and his crew, at least at first. But seemingly ordinary acts of service matter with God. The story of Ruth from our first reading exemplifies that. So sticking with a suffering mother-in-law was sacrificial, but it didn't look impressive. It was a simple kindness in a sad situation. But it led to the birth of Ruth's son, the eventual birth of King David, and down the line to the birth of Jesus himself. Even though Ruth never knew any of that, God does extraordinary things with ordinary acts of service. So four brushstrokes that reveal the colour of Jesus' loving service. Loving service that leads to joy is humble, generous, self-forgetful, seemingly ordinary. Which aspect of Jesus' loving service most captivates you? Because then Jesus says, if you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. And that's our last step on the path to service that leads to joy, responding with Christ-like loving service from verses 12 to 17. Jesus says, verse 15, I have given you an example. My loving service, its humility, its generosity, its self-forgetfulness, the way that it does seemingly ordinary things, that's the service that leads to joy. And that's what our service is to look like. Not in its effect. None of us are going to cleanse each other of sin. Not even in the details. We probably won't get out a wash basin and start washing each other's feet. But in the inner character of our service, Jesus shows us his brushstrokes so that we can paint alongside him. So here's the spiritual question for all of us who are Christians. It's one I've started to reflect on with my morning cup of tea. Whose feet can I wash today? And how will I wash them? How can I treat others as if they have a higher status than me? How can I give without expecting back? How can I focus on others, not myself? What's the ordinary, everyday thing to do here? But before we go on, I do want to say something to us as a whole church, because I'm a relative newcomer here, and maybe that gives a fresh pair of eyes. And I've noticed some very ordinary but very beautiful examples of loving Christian service in the last few weeks. So the confirmation candidate who could have been the center of attention last Sunday evening, but quietly got on with laying the table before others arrived. Or the busy person who took an evening off to go and spend time with someone who was feeling overwhelmed in this congregation. And that's just two of many examples I could have picked on. Acts of humility, generosity, self-forgetfulness, ordinary looking. Many of us are walking well on the path that leads to joy, that path of service. But wherever we are on that path, we'll want to keep making progress. So what about those of us who are sometimes like Andrew, who find it hard to break out of the consumer mentality when it comes to church? Well, here's a few habits that we might adopt. So before church, maybe before we turn that last corner before coming onto the street, we silently pray, Lord, help me to be a giver, not a taker. Help me to wash someone's feet this morning. And then after church, as the organ voluntary draws to a close, look out for ways that you can be self-forgetful and generous. Focus on others without expecting anything back. So after the service, you could join your close friends, or you could go and speak to the person who seems to be on their own. Decide to forget yourself and to focus on them, even when the conversation over your shoulder appears to be a whole lot more lively. And consider, are there ways I can serve that person? Introduce them to my circle of friends, have them round for lunch or a coffee. And then outside church, look for the ordinary ways to serve. Whose feet can I wash today? My wife, by getting out of bed first so I can make the tea. My junior colleague, by going over that task again. and enjoy serving in the ordinary things, because it's a great leveler. It doesn't matter how busy we are. It doesn't matter how weak we are. We can pray for someone when nobody but God sees. We can offer that brief, encouraging word. But I do want to acknowledge that there may be some here who are quite involved in church serving activities, but not finding joy in them right now. Please know this, there can be all sorts of reasons joy doesn't flow for a season that have absolutely nothing to do with the quality of our service. Mental health issues, for example. But if you think that there may be an issue with some of your motives that are blocking joy, well, reflecting on those four brushstrokes of Jesus' loving service can be a bit like an MOT, helping us identify what we're struggling with. For example, maybe a desire for recognition is getting in the way of humility. Not because mixed motives invalidate our service. We're always going to have mixed motives. I have mixed motives. But because identifying where we're struggling helps us to know what to pray into as we serve. And when we do stumble at serving, and we will, let's remember, responding with Christ-like loving service is like sitting in a masterclass repainting the Mona Lisa. Every Christian is trying to model their life on Jesus' own beautiful life. And though we can all expect to get better with the brushstrokes as we go through time, they're always going to be never as good as the original. It's always going to be the case that at some level, we're beginners. So let's not let the perfection of the original keep us from having another go. And remember the master servant Jesus. He's with us by his Spirit, instructing us with each stroke. And he's already died and washed us clean when we do fail in our service. We don't wash feet out of fear or guilt. We wash them out of freedom and grace. Respond to Christ's loving service with Christ-like loving service. And as you walk along that path, you will find joy, even if it takes some time. Jesus says, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." I don't know exactly what loving service will look like for you. Each of us is copying the masterpiece of Jesus' loving service from a different angle, the angle of our own unique circumstances. But even in the strangest circumstances, we can learn the brushstrokes of service. Just like Queen Elizabeth did. I mean, you think about her life, there aren't many more unusual circumstances than that. The Queen had many honours, but the greatest was the one that was never listed in any of her titles. She'd been admitted to the Order of the Tao, the Order for Foot Washers. She'd received Christ's loving service, reflected on it, and responded with it, asking, "Whose feet can I wash here?" If we're believers, we're all in that same order, following Jesus Christ on his path of service and into joy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your Son Jesus served us on the cross. Please help us to reflect on the picture of foot washing he gave us and to serve those you place around us. Amen. A brief moment of silence to reflect or pray over anything in particular we want to hold on to from those readings. Let this mind be in us which was in thee, who was the servant, that we might be free. Let's stand and praise the God of humble service together.